If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love for the one life, the beloved that dwells within you, as you, and through you. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening our seminar topic is, Be Still and Know I Am God. So let's take a deep breath. And allow that stillness to wash over you and through you, dissolving any agitation, any worry, any discord, anything that's not completely at peace. Let it go. There is something that is greater than you, that would live through you if you would just let go. Let go of the need to know, to figure out, to do anything about anything. Let it all go. All imperative to understand and figure out and be involved with things that are not your immediate experiential allotment in this lifetime. It's not necessary to seek to add more to your plate. Be still. Be here. Be now. And just live the moment as it is right now. Take another deep breath and allow the Divine Spirit to fill you now. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Take another deep breath and allow the infilling. Some of you may have felt that as goosebumps on top of your skull. That's how I experienced it. And a hot chill. My body felt very hot, but at the same time I was feeling a chill and goosebumps. And the Holy Spirit will use the electromagnetic field of the body to give evidence in some way of its presence. Because like the wind, you don't know where it blows or how it blows or where it will come from. But you see the evidence of it in the movement of the trees. And likewise, the Spirit of the living, supreme, all that is, when it interacts with creation, particularly the human being, which is the only vessel on this planet, at least, the human vessel is the only container for the Christ, the Christ consciousness. No other form, at least on this planet, can host fully the Christ. The Christ is simply you, spirit-filled. That's it. You, when you host the fullness of the Divine Spirit, have become the Christ, the Anointed One, which is what that means. So the anointing of the Divine Spirit at this time is being poured out upon all people. And the entire earth is being bathed with this divine essence, which is called in Arabic, Baraka. A beautiful word, isn't it? Baraka. And this Baraka, this divine essence, is hovering over all as something that can be open to and received if you simply allow it. In every single seminar I've been doing for the last almost 7 years, I have given many, many, many keys and tools and techniques and suggestions of how to be available to this spirit, this Baraka, this divine darshan, this divine bestowal of the all it is through our human functionary beingness in this world. And the entirety, let's say, of the old process of evolution, which has come to its apex in terms of a human being at this time, we have to now make a quantum leap beyond the human kingdom. We have to enter now the kingdom of souls, or the divine kingdom, because we've gone as far as we can with this old operational system, and it's being revamped. And a whole new system is being inserted and wired and connected in every single being on the planet. We're being remade from within out. This is not something that we can do by ourselves, although we can certainly cooperate. And so, I think it would be appropriate for us to start our meditation this evening with the beautiful, I guess you'd call it a prayer from A Course in Miracles. But it's something that's worthwhile being brought to mind frequently. Not as a ritual or something that you do by rote, but periodically as a reminder, and it's this: I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to do the will of Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. And I am healed as I allow Him to teach me to heal. And I think the statement, I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me. I think that's so important to remember, that we're not alone on this planet. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to know what to say or do beforehand, because he who sent us into this world also indwells us as our spirit and directs us in the moment of need. In the moment. Not for the future. Can't do anything about the past. But here and now in this moment. And the statement, I am healed, as I allow him to teach me to heal, is also something worth reminding ourselves. How do we heal? Well, number one, all healing is the result of remembering we remain as God created us. It's a return and a remembering of our eternal wholeness. So we are healed as we keep reminding ourselves that all appearances of dis-ease, disorder, disarray, imperfection, whatever, are simply images that the ego mind has beguiled us into thinking they're real. But they're only real to the degree that we make them real to ourselves. If we could, in one fell swoop, simply recognize them for what they are, absolutely not real, their appearances, like dream images, and they can be dispelled in an instant by opening to the divine spirit and allowing a new vision to be inserted in our minds. And periodically, it can stop during the day when you find yourself buying into too much body consciousness, body concern, body worries. And just remind yourself that you remain as God created you, that you're not a body. That actually, according to the Course in Miracles, all pain, all disease, is in the mind alone, just as the world. The world is in the mind. Illness is in the mind. Disease of every form has a mental cause only. The body is an effect of the mind. Or as the Course calls it, the body is the defense system of the ego in which it hides from God and tries to distract you by those thoughts that convince you that you're lacking in any way. So all healing is the result of remembering your wholeness, of being still and knowing I am God. I think most have heard that phrase, and still, I think very few of us have actually given it much serious thought. It's found in the Bible, and, let me ask you, have you contemplated that statement in meditation, in the stillness of your innermost being? Are you one of the tiny percentage that has personally considered this and the possible meaning and ramification of this to you personally in your own life? I think you've discovered, probably as I have, that the statement can be said in several ways. and each gives a slightly different nuance. Be still and know. Be still and know I am. Be still and know I am God. And taken literally, it's a statement attributed to God as God's statement about himself and how to know him. And in that context, it would be still and know I am God. Or be still and know I am God. And this is how a majority of Christians understand this portion of Scripture. And most are quite happy to leave it at that. And here one can imagine the deep voice of Carlton Heston speaking as God in the film The Ten Commandments, proclaiming in thunderous tones, "Be still and know I am God." Can't quite do Carlton Heston, but you get the idea. But if you'd ask the same question to an old Himalayan yogi or a seasoned Tibetan monk, and they're all quite familiar with this verse because I've seen people ask monks and yogis about this, they will readily affirm its deeper meaning. But they have discovered the deeper meaning based on their direct experiences in meditation. So it's a powerful mantra that I think everyone in the East and the West can use as some form of an approach to a deeper connection with that part of ourselves that is indeed the I am, that is divine. So the approach of the East has been more of an inner focus within contemplation and quiet meditation. And what happens when you take something into your consciousness to mull it over, to chew upon it, to ruminate upon it, to meditate, contemplate? It's quickened to life for you at the level of your particular receptivity or your particular level of spiritual realization and maturation. So it's different to different people. Everyone doesn't get the same directive, but it all starts with, regardless of the level, it all starts with be still and know, which means the still the inner chatter. Quiet down. Turn your attention quietly inward. Don't even bother with trying to quiet your mind. Just turn your attention to stillness. Easy way to do that is to simply pay attention to your breath. That immediately brings you present here and now. And as you just quietly attend to your breath, or I like to just go out and sit in the sunshine and look up in the deep, deep blue sky up here in the high desert mountains. Sky is so deep blue. And sometimes there's no clouds anywhere. And when you look into that deep blue sky, you immediately start to transcend into higher consciousness. And I don't like much to think. I like to just be. So that's very easy for me to do, but it may not be that easy for you to do. So you can start with your breath. Or however you can stay focused, present, here and now. And then you'll notice that your spiritual inner knowing just starts to naturally come to the surface, like cream and milk just rises of its own accord to the surface because you've given it some space and some room and some intent for that to happen. Now, as you spend each day, as you find a particular time that you can set aside to be in the stillness and just contemplate whatever it is that the Spirit presents for that day, suddenly you'll notice an opening to new levels of awareness. And one of the first ones that usually we contemplate is who am I? What am I? And so the realization of I am begins to make its presence in your awareness. And you have a sense that I exist. I am. I exist transcendent, beyond my body, beyond my thoughts, beyond my emotions. I am. And that I am is the great inner stillness and knowing. Every time you touch to that place, you'll find it's beyond thought, beyond emotion. It's a quiet eye in the center of the storm, so to speak. And it's the experience directly of that great existence itself that is called in Sanskrit Sat, that eternality of your existence. And when you move into that, there goes your fear. Fear absolutely vanishes when you have the realization that you are existence, immortality itself. The fear of death leaves, the fear, all forms of fear simply vanish. They can return, of course, if you start courting thoughts of fear. But with the realization, I am Sat, fear vanishes. And then the rest comes as a great inner epiphany. Be still and know, I am God. What does that actually mean? That you're God, God with a big capital G? Experientially in time and space, no. But you can become one with the whole Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, or the Divine Baraka, the indwelling Spirit. You can merge with that. And that will reveal to you the higher Atmic or Paramatmic truth that we call in the West God. But the term God has been misappropriated and misunderstood and mistranslated and laid over with so many meanings that we've kind of lost the sense of what that is. So I like to use the term presence, soul awareness, divine awareness, expanded awareness, which gives a little closer personal experience of what that is. But this revelation is the direct experience of every God-realized individual, regardless of the path they have pursued or practiced. And it's when the little personal I am dissolves into the great I am. When the individual soul, or jivi, merges into the I am of the Atma, or Divine Spirit, like a river into the sea. So, I think, I know, that this is the most powerful time to be incarnated on Earth ever, because we have the Divine Spirit being poured out alike on all flesh, regardless of who they are, what they are, how they are. This is the dispensation of divine grace, and this is the age of the Holy Spirit. So So this divine spirit is the actual presence of peace. How we often see the picture of the dove. Well, the divine spirit's not a bird, it's not a dove, but that's a symbol that we've come to associate with peace. But it's something much more empowering and powerful than the symbol would imply. It's actually the dunamis, the dynamic, dynamite-like power of God acting through man. All of the miracles, all of the miraculous things that we heard that the Lord Jesus Christ did were done because there was only the Holy Spirit operating through him. There was no vestige of ego. There was only the Holy Spirit operating through him. And he materialized food. He healed every form of disease. He broke every chain of bondage. He erased the entire sorry story of the ego and walked as the living love and presence of grace, the very kingdom come upon earth. And then passed his mantle on to his disciples, who then passed their mantle on to their disciples, who then, up to this very day, have been carrying forward this mantle and this teaching of the living love and grace that can and will occupy your life and transform it to the degree that you would like that to happen. Some people want that more than anything else and will go to any kind of difficulty to get under that anointing, to get opened and broken enough and emptied out enough to be fully indwelt. And when you see a person like that, they are the miracle workers. And they're there. They're out there. They're doing their work. So, follow the anointing. Get under the anointing. Because like oil, it'll get all over you. Oil is often used as a metaphor for the anointing. And also honey. And honey's real sticky. It'll get all over you and everyone that rubs up against you. So get sticky and oily with that divine empowerment. Now, when you're not quite ready to receive it, and many people aren't because they're too clogged up with themselves and their worries and their personal life and concerns, when that is the case, it rests upon the auric field as a spiritual promise. And it stays there. It doesn't leave. They've gotten it. It just hasn't gotten into them yet. It rests upon the auric field until the individual opens to receive it. And then it comes filling and fulfilling the deepest longings of one's heart. And I believe this is what happens when a hardened heart suddenly experiences a genuine spiritual awakening. It can come as what has been called a born-again conversion experience, or as an epiphany in one's quiet moments, or in the very pit of deepest despair. But it comes when that person finally says yes to that which is greater, yes to God, yes to Christ. Yes to Jesus. Yes to that higher power that is greater than the flesh form in this world. And that life can and often does seem to be totally renewed, like one is literally reborn of the Spirit, and all things from that point on are seen in a new light. And I would say, with a new sense of loveliness. After every expansion of awareness, every epiphany, every enlightening episode, there is always a return to the proverbial chop wood, carry water, where one must take up one's cross or, quote, daily responsibilities and learn to follow the leading of divine spirit. In the East, this life is called Dharma, and in the West, it's called living a life of integrity and doing one's duty or righteousness, right-mindedness, right action, right livelihood. So Dharma, or righteousness, is right-mindedness. And this is really, Dharma is really the life of the Atma, the universal spirit, now motivating one's actions. So Dharma is the expression of your authentic self, your own spirit, operating through your human personality. And the same problems are going to be there that are part and parcel of life in this third dimension and are common to all, all life here. And these remain, but the attitude towards them has shifted from one of bondage and oppression to the joy of conscious service. I can't stress that enough. There is a joy. Nothing, in my experience, gives so much joy to one as living a life of conscious service to all sentient life, where you live to be used to serve and to be truly helpful. That's my prayer every day. It's like, Lord, help me to be truly helpful today to my fellow man. So we serve God by serving those in whom God dwells. And God dwells most fully in the human being. Sai Baba said that the human being is and can be as much as 85% divine, whereas an animal is only 15% divine. So it's not to say you don't serve animals, if that's your allotted dharma to do, but just quoting what Sai Baba said, it's interesting to think of it that way. We can be filled 85% with God, divine essence. What's the 15%? I don't know. He didn't speak about that. But I would suppose it's the karmic field that we each come in with when we find ourselves in an earth embodiment. So after you've made room for this Holy Spirit to fill you, and it's not a one-time event, it's a moment-by-moment walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit. You have to choose every moment. You have to choose back. How do you do that? You keep walking in innocence, in openness, in availability. Jesus said, like a little child. Not childish, but childlike. No agenda. No judgment. No opinions about how it has to be or should be. Just know that it is the way it is because that's how it must be. And make peace with it. You know, dance with it. So everything is easier in the sense it has the victorious overcoming power of the Supreme Spirit flowing through and supporting your actions. And with this divine empowerment comes the confidence. You get filled with such a boldness. Where you were shy and timid before, you become like a roaring lion of confidence because you know you are trusting in something greater than your frailness and fragility. You're being sourced through by something that you can have total confidence in. And this gives a tremendous inner strength to overcome whatever before seemed like an insurmountable burden. For many, this could be an addictive pattern. But receiving the inflowing of the Divine Spirit breaks the chains of bondage off of a person. And as I have seen it, that person is often delivered instantly. I've seen this happen again and again. And it just falls away as if it had never been. And that spiritual fire needs to be stoked and fed. And it's fed and stoked by the fuel of your ongoing devotion, your ongoing dedication, and your ongoing vigilance to practice self-direction and self-discipline every day. And this is the soul food, as I like to call it. And this could also consist of your daily quiet time, communing with it. Divine Spirit, both within yourself and in the all that is, in nature, in everything that surrounds you, that Spirit is present. And so you learn to feast upon the beautiful. Whatever is beautiful is a form that the Divine Spirit is drawing to your attention. Beauty actually strengthens you. It gives you energy. It feeds that part that is divine and whole and perfect. Another name for God is Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Satyam, again, that eternal existence or truth. Shivam, which is the spirit of the I am that I am, or goodness itself, or godness itself. And Sundaram, which is beauty. So beauty is God, and God is beauty, and beauty is a pathway to God. Whatever you dwell upon, if it's beautiful, will lead you closer and closer to the source of beauty itself. So where there is beauty and sweetness and gentle loving kindness, and the breathtaking vistas in nature, the mountains and the seas, and the blue depths of the sky, and the starry wonder of night, these are actually food that feed the spirit within you, as does the time in which you simply relax in nature, and the times you create beauty through your art, your visions, your beauty, your music, sculpture, writing, serving others, whatever you do that causes you to go in that zone where you lose sight of your personal self and you become one with the vehicle that you're expressing through. All of that is like food, fuel for your spirit. We are learning, each one of us, as we're being taught by the Divine Spirit, how to just be. It was interesting to me. I was watching Super Soul Sunday on the OWN channel, which is Oprah Winfrey's, I would call it her pulpit, where she has wonderful, wonderful realized people, men and women, who share their insights and their revelations. And she had Eckhart Tolle on the other day, and she had asked him all those questions, and he had given his answers about, what does the world need, and what happens to you when you die, and do you meditate, and, all those things. And then suddenly she looked at him and said, well, what do you do for fun? And he looked at her, and he cracked a little smile, and he said, well, actually, I just be. I just be. I enjoy being, just enjoying the now, the moment, the present. So I don't need to be entertained. I don't need to escape from what's present. That's my fun, to just be. And he said, right now, you're fun. Because he was in an interview with Oprah. And this that we're doing is fun. And she laughed. She said, I feel the same way. This is fun for me to do what I'm doing. So, first of all, in learning how to just be, we need to realize the I am. I am. I am. You know, not as a, you know, something that we've seen on a artwork or something we've read in the green books of the I Am movement, but as an experiential, actual realization that I am. I had an experience the other morning where I realized that I'm simply witnessing presence. I don't actually have a body. Oh, yeah, there's one down here that you could say is my body, but I'm not really living at that level. But I had the experience of being like eyes in the sky, omnipresent, witnessing. And when it hit me, I felt myself start to weep because what came up for me was the sense of being witnessing compassion. And what drew that state to me was praying to be truly helpful. You know, each day I wake up and I think, thank you, God, I have this opportunity to encourage people, to inspire them, to comfort them, to be a source of clarity. And I can just be that as I go about my day, as I interact with people on and offline. And I was just thinking how deeply I love humanity. This planet is so precious. Every human being to me is so beautiful, so interesting, so unique, so unusual. They're like walking, to me, they're like walking scripture. When I look into a person's eyes and I see their soul and I feel their heart and their unique essence of consciousness, I'm filled with love, I'm filled with devotion, I'm filled with gratitude that I can know I am. That I can be, I am. And that I can awaken others to the I am. That is, that they each are. So, learning how to just be is learning how to be content and quiet in the present moment. Be content. Sai Baba said you always have what you need in any given moment. Be content with what you have. Be grateful for what you have. Be present, just here and now. To remind yourself that everything in highest truth, no one is broken, no one is flawed, no one is lost, sinful, impaired. The only evil we see comes out of a mistaken part of the mind that we call the ego. Where is the evil when the ego is dissolved? You see only God. When the heart is pure, you see only the divine in all persons and places. So you begin to relinquish the tendency to identify with old limitations and lack. You don't project them on yourself, and you don't project them on others. You learn to accept and understand and to relinquish judgment. You just simply know that you are and everyone is created, ever one with God, perfect, whole, divine, and absolutely innocent. I often use the metaphor that your life here and your expression in terms of you as a spirit, your passage of your form through time and space is like the passing of a shadow over all kinds of terrain, but it doesn't touch the one who has cast the shadow, which would be you, the spirit. So, don't buy into the illusion that you could ever be separate from God, or God's love, or the perfection in which you were created eternally. Then you will be free of the past and know that it has no control. Your past and your experiences were only for the purpose of what could be learned through the interaction with those particular events. Because the soul came to have experience, and that's what you had. As a result of your past choices, you had experience. There's no need to pass judgment on it. It's past. It's finished. It's over. Sai Baba used to often say people in interviews where they were upset about something they'd done, he said, past is past. Now is now. From this moment on, now, live godly. Live godly. He would often say, drink God, eat God, breathe God, see God, be God. And that's how you just stay present in your perfection. So you open yourself to the wisdom. There's never nothing happening. Every moment is speaking to you. In everything you see and interact with, there is the golden wisdom speaking to you. If you're open, if you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, which is the opened heart, you see through the eyes of the heart, you see through the inner consciousness, there is a wisdom that is present at every single moment. And it's part of you and it's within you. You don't have to go anywhere to get this. It's all in you. You're omniscient and omnipresent. As the spirit, as the eyes in the sky, as the witnessing awareness. You might try that as a meditation. Try to experience yourself as your energy of consciousness. And just begin to expand until you're just witnessing presence. And notice how you don't have a body at that point. You just have complete availability, complete being, and it's not tethered to any form of limitation in these lower realms. And then you'll know what it's like to step out of the body and let the body fall aside, and you'll see that you still remain witnessing awareness. The masters, the very, very highest, masters function, Sai Baba said, as spiritual currents. They're not limited to a body, and they can be anywhere and everywhere at the same time. If they manifest in a particular dimension, they can create what's called a Maya Virupa, an illusory form that can manifest if that's needed. Otherwise, they're the witnessing presence. And that's our future, and that's our present, because it already exists at a higher level. But in terms of time, we will all ultimately come to that realization. So, why not move into it now? If you can, go for it. And I don't think you have a desire to do something that you're not equipped to do. So if you have a desire to step beyond body limitation and body identification, try a contemplation of experiencing your presence as energy, as a state of awareness, as consciousness, as a witnessing presence. And then find what fills your heart with such love that you find you're spontaneously weak. And you'll find that that's your soul tone, your very spiritual signature. It's part of that, be still and know I am God. So as you move into this new state of awareness, old patterns and things that you used to obsess about, they fall away, they disappear. Jesus said that with awakening, the entire timeline, the entire time-space continuum, and everything that you did in that state of illusion vanishes. It simply vanishes. And he said what remains is you as unconditional, immortal love. And only the love you gave and only the love you receive is what you take with you forever. Everything else dissolves like mist before the sun. So it's important to release every vestige of resentment. Resentment is where you have an emotional againstness towards someone or something that happened, and you keep resending it. Resentment is resentment. So make peace with whatever that is and put it to rest at the feet of the Christ and step free through grace. The more you empty yourself of resentment, the more you can receive the anointing of this supreme, all-fulfilling love. And then you have a sense that everyone is your beloved. And the automatic reaction that you have with any interaction with any human being is one of upwelling of goodwill and affection. It's just automatic. You don't even have to think about whether or not you like that person. Your instant reaction is open-hearted embracing. Not necessarily physically, although sometimes that happens, but you're open to the divine in that person. And it's interesting because when you do that, you actually call them forward in that divinity. You evoke them. And then you find that they're more than happy to greet you at that level because suddenly they feel safe in your presence. They recognize that they've been seen. Even this is all silent. We're talking about daily encounters with people. They sense when they're seen as who they truly are. Now, when you see a person as an ego, or you project your past experiences thinking that you know who they are today, they feel that too. And it feels like a pressure, like you feel when you're in the room with someone who doesn't like you and who is judging you and making notes of all the things that you're doing wrong that they dislike. You feel that. You feel that judgment very energetically. And you want to get away from that person as quickly as you can. But when you're with a saint or someone who has a totally opened heart, it feels so good to be with them because you can relax and be yourself. You know it's safe. You know the acceptance is unconditional and that you're not going to be hurt. People in the ego mode hurt. They lash out. And so when you have your heart truly opened and you're truly operating from higher awareness, you learn to see that as a fearful reaction, which is really their own cry for healing and love. They really are calling forth not chastisement, not abuse, not lashing out from the ego, but they want to be healed. They want to feel safe. So that's how you can extend healing to a person, is to look past that pain, look past that acting out in negativity and desperation, and just be a silent presence, a witness of compassion. Be witnessing compassion in the life of people. Sometimes there's not much you can say. They don't want words. They want presence. They want you. As compassion, as understanding, as a safe place. You can sit quietly and do more healing and more teaching than verbally when you can move into that place of be still and know I am. That I am is all sufficient. So when you experience life as a spirit rather than as a body, you'll know you're here only as a vehicle to serve. There's no other reason or purpose. There's nothing else to be done. And you're always in service when you are radiating your authentic soul signature, your authentic energy, your authentic beingness. When you're in that state of simply being, breathing in and breathing out, and handling each moment as it appears with love, with reverence of the divine, and with gratitude, you touch to the entire earth at every single life form in it. Because all life is one spirit, totally connected, like cells in one body. So what the one does affects the whole. And the health of the world and the healing of the world is simply the remembrance that we all remain as God created us. And in highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. So let's close with a brief meditation in which see yourself standing in space with your brothers and sisters throughout the entire planet, holding hands, connecting our hearts to that golden Christ grid that wraps the earth like a mesh of baraka. And we're going to say together the simplest of prayers for all people, for all nations, for all situations. I love you. God bless you. Peace. Be still. And hold that as you move through the week as your intention. And say it often. When you watch the news, when you see things that are shown happening in the world, be the witness of God's loving grace, compassion, and eternal loving. Let's go out chanting. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shanti is the mantra for the soul plane, one of many, and it simply means peace. So, you can always chant Shanti and send the light of that peace to all the planet and all the beings of all the worlds. May all receive the infilling.